Prime Minister Bob Hawke attended a Northern Territory Indigenous festival in 1988 and promised a historic treaty with the Aboriginal people. The Baranga Statement was a declaration written on bark by the Aboriginal land councils and traditional owners and contained their demands and their aspirations for a treaty with the Australian government. Hawke co-signed the statement with the Aboriginal representatives and set a deadline for a treaty by the end of 1990. He promised the treaty would be negotiated before the end of his term. John's account of Jesus' encounter with Thomas is often read as though John's gospel was primarily concerned with the modern conflict between science and faith, as though Thomas has doubts that will be answered by the facts. But Thomas, rather than being a spokesperson for scientific truth, has more in common with Prime Minister Hawke. Thomas first appeared earlier in John's narrative in a scene where Jesus announced that he would travel to Judea, where Lazarus had just died. But the disciples were upset with Jesus' idea of going to Judea, where there was fierce opposition against him, including trying to stone him, John's gospel tells us. But Jesus dismissed his disciples' concerns, and then Thomas, full of bravado, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." What Prime Minister Hawke and Thomas have in common is that they talk big. They talk big. They made big promises in front of their peers, even when they knew that there was strong political opposition to their public statements. Prime Minister Hawke knew that there was opposition to his promise of a treaty with Indigenous people. And the vocal opponents included strident statements from politicians within the Liberal Party and fierce resistance within his own party from the West Australian Burke Labor government and, of course, the Mining Council. Thomas was also aware that there were threats of political opposition to his master Jesus. He knew that the Jewish leadership wanted to kill Jesus because Jesus was a threat. He was a threat to the political arrangement that they had to look after themselves by the Roman Empire. The Jewish authorities had a deal where they would help keep the peace for the Romans. And so these two stories provide a focus for John's reason in putting Thomas at the centre of this resurrection story. Because just as Bob Hawke's broken promises to Indigenous Australians is viewed as a betrayal of a promise that he made, so Thomas re-enters John's gospel in this scene as one of the disciples of Jesus who had betrayed Jesus. Thomas puts his own personal survival first when Jesus was faced with the violence of the crucifixion by the Roman governor, Pilate. Thomas's betrayal is then made worse in the gospel story by his broken promise, and then by doing nothing when the violence of crucifixion happened. He did nothing. Well, he got away. So John's gospel reveals in this story that all of Jesus' disciples were complicit in Jesus' betrayal. They all shared the blame for leaving him to his fate on his own. In like manner, the statement from the heart asserts that all all non-Indigenous Australians are complicit in perpetuating the theft of First Nations country from the time of the colonial invasion. When I was a director of a Uniting Care agency, we ran a program for Indigenous women in an Aboriginal-controlled drug and alcohol recovery program. We ran an art program. And on one occasion, the CEO of the Aboriginal agency asked me to give them the funds that we obtained from the church's share appeal so that they could run the program for themselves. They didn't want us white guys running it. They wanted to run it themselves, and we would give them the money. But we believed that our program was doing good. And so, to my shame, we said no. We refused the request. Our synod has a project called Money for Mission, which involves selling church property on land that for 60,000 years prior was First Peoples country. Funds raised from these sales go almost entirely to help the Uniting Church survive the current crisis of declining membership and declining income. The Uluru Statement from the Heart reminds us that the structural torment of First Peoples' sense of powerlessness in our country is embedded in the structural nature of Australian Christianity's power and privilege. John tells us the disciples do everything they can to hide their guilt and to cover up their shame at betraying Jesus. Their fear at being found out as friends of Jesus by the Jewish opponents, the Jewish authorities, causes the disciples to huddle together behind locked doors so no one can see them. Yet Jesus appears in their midst and calms their terror, saying, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus showed them the wounds caused by his crucifixion. The disciples rejoiced because it was clearly the crucified Jesus who was now reaching out to them, repeating his greeting to them, "Peace be with you." It's clear, the way John tells the story, that the source of the disciples' joy is Jesus' forgiveness of their dismal failure. He is forgiving them their betrayal of him when he was being persecuted. And so Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the Easter miracle. Jesus forgives his betrayers. And he gives them the power of forgiveness. Until that moment, Jewish belief was that only God could forgive sins. And so in this moment, Jesus' forgiveness reveals for everyone that he is at one with God. His power to forgive sins is a power that up until then it was believed only could be done by God. Jesus shows all of the disciples that he is at one with God. And then Jesus declares this power to forgive sins is remarkably given to these disciples. The power to forgive betrayal, harm done to others, is given to human beings. God's power, now given to us. In the Indigenous Statement from the Heart, people wounded by 250 years of colonial injustice expressed the desire that they would like in the future to live together with we settler non-Indigenous Australians. They indicate they want to live in harmony, in coexistence with us. This is a gracious act of forgiveness that sets aside the historic sin of the colonial theft of their country under the British Crown. Our complicity in injustice is forgiven. Forgiven. This Easter, Australian Christians are invited to see that the movement of God's Spirit in the Statement from the Heart of Indigenous Australians is given to us. My heart sings. My heart sings to see this great gift of God's forgiveness being offered to settler Australians after all of our betrayals and all of our hard-heartedness and all of our sin, all of our sin. For more than 60,000 years, the ancestral spirits of First Nations people have been forming them, guiding them and leading them to this moment, to live in peace with one another and with country. And in this referendum year, they are reaching out to we recent arrivals on their country with a generous invitation, an invitation to walk with them in a new creation for our nation. We can be a new creation. A new creation blessed by the sovereign peace of their ancestral spirits and blessed by the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit. These things come together for us in this Easter season. And all of this takes us to the heart of John's Thomas story. If all of that's been given to all the disciples, why does John need to tell the story of Thomas, this one fellow? John's gospel speaks to the liberating power of God's forgiveness for all of us burdened by the sin of guilt and shame, while reminding us in this story of Thomas that God's forgiveness is intensely personal. It speaks to your heart and my heart, each one. If the political transformation that's wrought by the forgiveness of God's Spirit does not bring personal transformation, it cannot be sustained. It cannot be sustained unless each personal heart is transformed as well. To refuse this forgiveness is to continue living in the sin of betrayal. When Thomas catches up with the disciples who've experienced Christ's forgiveness, he doesn't believe them. He doesn't believe them. Their testimony, he doesn't believe it. For Thomas, his betrayal of Jesus was unforgivable. He couldn't imagine that it could happen. Thomas dismissed their account as a self-serving illusion. Thomas believed that his brutal betrayal of Jesus was unforgivable. That was the burden of his sin. But then Jesus appears to Thomas and he speaks the same words of forgiveness. Peace be with you. But it is Jesus' invitation to Thomas to touch the wounds, to place his hands on Jesus' healed wounds. That touch touches Thomas. That invitation touches Thomas. John doesn't go on to say that Thomas touched Jesus as he was invited. Rather, John's account moves straight to how Thomas was touched in his heart by the sheer intimacy of the forgiving grace that was offered to him by the resurrected Christ. Thomas is in awe. Thomas is in wonder at the power of such overwhelming love, that such overwhelming love could renew his relationship with the one he had betrayed. He's blown away by this love which transformed his life to be in solidarity with this community committed to God's justice and righteousness. And so Thomas responds by exclaiming, "My Lord and my God." Now, in the context of the brutality and the violence of the Roman colonial powers that crucified Jesus, Thomas is saying, "Jesus is my Lord, not Caesar. Jesus is the one who reveals God, not the emperor." He is making a clear commitment to the transforming work of Christ's sovereignty over the self-serving colonial powers of the Roman Empire. "My Lord and my God" is a political statement of his faith in the sovereign God, the Creator God, the Lord of the universe. We may understand this transforming grace through the testimony of another Thomas, Torres Strait Islander Thomas Mayo. Thomas Mayo, a young Indigenous man, was visiting schools to speak about the statement from the heart. Recently, a teacher friend had arranged for him to teach an entire high school about the statement from the heart. And in his account of this, Thomas Mayo said, "The first assembly complete, as I waited in the lunch break for the next to start, this 15-year-old boy hung around, tentative as other students asked me their questions. Finally, the shyer boy came to me. He said, 'That was really interesting, what you told us, what you had to say.' And he looked at his hands and he paused. And Thomas says, he reached into his heart and with his words, he gave me a gift I will always treasure. He said with certainty, with an unwavering resolve, 'Some of the people in my family say racist things. I just wanted to tell you that I won't do the same. I won't do the same. I'm going to be different.'" Thomas Mayo concluded, "Children see the world as it should be. We should be generous to our children and make it so. And make it so." Thomas the disciple also came to see the world differently through the grace of God's forgiveness given to him through Christ. Today we are each called personally to see our lives differently through the statement from the heart, For me, the burden of shame at my inherited privilege is being lifted by this invitation of First Nations people to all Australians to live together in coexistence. I hear their invitation as I gaze at the wounds borne by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, wounds laid bare in their statement. Their generous offer of forgiveness for my complicity in the evils of colonialism touches my heart. I rejoice with Thomas that the deathly burden of colonialism has been shown for what it is in Christ's crucifixion, that it is defeated by the power of God's forgiving grace, the grace now gifted to the hearts of all who believe. This is what John's Gospel urges upon you, that these signs of God's forgiving grace are written. These signs are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. From that first Easter, saying yes to life in Christ is a new possibility for Australia. It is a new possibility for a nation freed from the burden of the violent sin and evil of colonialism. I am called to say yes to life in Christ. I am called to say yes with Thomas, my Lord and my God. This is the power of a new creation. May it be so. Thanks be to God.